Hello, folks. Welcome to the Solar Fit Renewable Energy Show. Bill Gallagher back with you again. Beautiful day down here in Daytona Beach, Florida. Want to give a shout out to our friends at Daytona Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram for the loyal support, and particularly to our driver, Mr. Daniel Dye, who's driving with a number 10 Colleg Chevrolet this year, the Xfinity Series, with a race to stop suicide all across America. So we're very passionate about that, and we've got some really, really distinguished guests here, and you may have heard them speak before, because this is the second edition. I think it's because I had so many questions, I twisted their arm and got them to come back on. But we've got with us Mr. Jeff Winton, who's the founder and CEO of the nonprofit Rural Minds, and Nikki Schaefer, Director of Occupational Health and Wellness at Pfizer, a very well-known name. Jeff, Nikki, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks for having us.
So we're spread out all over the country, right? So we're down at Daytona Beach, and I think, Jeff, you said you're out in Kansas, right now?
Yep.
Man, I'll tell you what, the wheat fields, it's got to be a little chilly out there, a little windy, isn't it?
Well, it sounds like it's a little colder here than where it is in rural Pennsylvania where Nikki is. I believe Nikki said it was 60 degrees. It's probably half that here in the Kansas City area right now.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Nikki, in Pennsylvania, 60, that's very warm for this time of year, isn't it?
It is, and I'm wanting to see a little bit of snow. Not like the snow they had in upstate in the lake effect in Pennsylvania, that part of Pennsylvania, but I would like to see a little Christmas snow.
Oh, man. You know, I was thinking about a month ago, I don't know if you saw it in the paper, but a fellow was hiking up in the Adirondacks, where really right near the hometown where I came from, and he became lost, and they still have not found that poor fellow. And, you know, and shortly thereafter, it started snowing, and now I think there's probably 5.5 feet of snow on the high peaks. We just, you know, we wish the family very well, and wish whatever goodness can come out of this, I hope it does.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, that's tough.
But anyway, enough about the weather. We're so fortunate down here. I think it's about 72 degrees. It's sunny out. You know, people are walking around their shorts and flip-flops. It's just, I feel a little embarrassed, but you know, it's okay. We'll get over it. Anyway, you guys, you're so awesome. You know, for some reason during the last interview, right at the end of that, I realized that, man, there's just so much stuff that we hadn't talked about. You know, we're talking a little bit about folks, about the suicide rates among rural areas, which are estimated to be 64 to 68% higher compared to people in large urban areas. And Jeff, this is something you can speak to. If you can, brief everyone again about your background, if you don't mind.
Yes, certainly. So I am the founder and chair of Rural Minds, which is a fairly new nonprofit organization. We were founded 3 years ago as a result of my 28-year-old nephew's death by suicide. My nephew lived and worked on our family dairy farm on Lake Erie in upstate New York. And despite his outwardly appearance, he was suffering in silence with depression. And unfortunately, we did not realize his journey until it was too late. And as a product of rural America, I grew up in rural America, I live in rural America again, I realized quickly after my nephew died, after it became very personal to me and my family, that more needed to be done to really tackle the stigma in rural America. Many illnesses decades ago were stigmatized in rural America. I mean, I remember growing up as a young boy on our family dairy farm, and people weren't talking openly about diabetes or cancer or blood pressure. Now those things are discussed quite openly, but we still have the stigma that exists in small town America where people aren't comfortable talking about things like depression and alcohol use disorder and schizophrenia. And they're unfortunately not considered illnesses. And of course, they are very much as much of an illness as any of the other illnesses I've mentioned, but they're still looked upon as a character flaw or something that people should be embarrassed about or ashamed about. So that was the genesis for Rural Minds, and that's why we're so thrilled to have the partnership with Pfizer to help shine a light on this silent but growing epidemic.
Wow, yeah, very well said, Jeff. Nikki, I mean, everyone on the planet Earth is familiar with Pfizer, and you're Director of Occupational Health and Wellness. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up with this position.
Sure. So I am a nurse practitioner by trade. I actually started my career with Pfizer. It was the part I was with was Warner Lambert back in the day when I started in a manufacturing plant. I was a nurse practitioner caring for the workers of a manufacturing plant, and my role has continued to grow to where I oversee the health and well-being support and services for all of Pfizer employees around the world. In addition to that, I do live in a rural small town out in Pennsylvania, and still continue to practice in a local primary care facility there in my off hours.
Well, how do you communicate with, I mean, I don't know how many employees Pfizer has, but I think tens of thousands. How do you communicate your message to them?
So we have multiple ways of communicating. And by the way, we have about 93,000 employees around the world. And we have many different support programs that we offer to our employees. And so we communicate through emails, through live broadcast messages, through podcasts, and even in-person face-to-face sessions. So there are lots of different opportunities, and whatever meets the cultural needs of our employees, we really try to meet them where they're at.
Gosh, yeah, I can't think of anything more important than that. You know, we're approaching the holiday season. I mean, really, by the time that this is aired, we will be right in the middle of the holiday season, which includes Christmas and New Year's, of course, which are probably the biggest ones. And I've got to believe that there's a certain amount of stress involved in that. Can you guys talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So a lot of the stressors that people face are just exemplified and magnified over the holidays. So a lot of folks are struggling with financial challenges on a day-to-day basis. And add on top of that, then the thought of gift buying and meeting certain expectations of the size of the gift or how many gifts we buy, and then going to the holiday parties, and just a lot of different added stressors around those expectations. And then it leads to some unhealthy coping mechanisms, such as excessive alcohol or other substance use, or even overspending, and how that then impacts them in the long run. We also see people who just adds to the day-to-day challenges by all of the other expectations. If we have children, it may be holiday parties with their schools or their friends, or when we're working, more holiday gatherings. Or if we don't have great relationships within our families or even have a family, those all add to different stressors that each person individually experiences in a very different way and can impact them greatly.
Wow. What about, Jeff, this would be a good question for you, since you live in an area that's, and I've never been there, but I can close my eyes and envision that this big farm and you're looking over and this stuff, and it's just, you can't see your neighbor. Talk about social isolation and loneliness.
Well, certainly social isolation is a tremendous issue that we talk quite a bit about. And pretty much the entire world felt that way when COVID hit and everything was shut down. And so even though a lot of our normal life has proceeded now and people are back to school and back to work and doing the things they were doing, the fact remains many people in rural America continue to be isolated because of the nature of where they live and where they work. As you said, my farm in upstate New York is beautiful. We're on a road that if we get 5 cars a day, that's a lot. And if a car goes by, we wonder, gee, I wonder who that is. So when you're living in an environment like that, where you have no neighbors and you have very little traffic, as beautiful and as tranquil as it can seem, after a while, it becomes very isolating. And, you know, certainly where we live and farm, it's in the middle of the snow belt off from Lake Erie. And we've had some tremendous winter storms the last couple of weeks. And for an entire week, we could not leave the farm, not only because the roads were impassable in many cases, but quite honestly, we had 6 to 8 feet of snow on the roofs of our barns. And we were worried that the barns were going to collapse. So for 2 days straight, we were up there shoveling snow off. So, you know, farm life in general is already stressful. You've got the roller coaster from an economic standpoint. You have the uncertainty because our livelihood is dependent on nature and what happens with our environment. You have fluctuating prices that are a result of trade issues and all of those things. And so it's already a pretty stressful situation. But then, as Nikki said, as we approach holidays, as we approach the time of year where we're supposed to be happy, we're supposed to have big smiles on our face, we're supposed to look like something out of a Hallmark movie, and you're already struggling with the reality of day-to-day life, it can be absolutely overwhelming. And, you know, one thing that we always advocate people doing is to just say no. If you are feeling overwhelmed and someone invites you to a party and you just don't feel like going, it's okay to send your regrets and say, you know, I can't come, or I'm not feeling up to it, or whatever. So there are a number of things that we as individuals can do to help mitigate this stress. But because of societal pressure, many people acquiesce and feel that they need to continue to portray something that they're certainly not feeling internally.
You know, it's really interesting, Jeff, because we come from kind of the same area in that up there. And, you know, I'm very relaxed in the woods and on the farm, and I'm just laid back. But when I go to the city, I go, how could anybody live in the city? You know, maybe Nikki, you ought to take that on. I may need therapy after this session. How can people
live in the city? That's fine. I can help you.
Okay. What is it? I mean, the people that live in the city absolutely love the city, but the people that come from the country go to the city and they feel like, God, they're on edge. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, some of that is, again, it's the pace at which things happen and the stimulus. They're overstimulated by the sounds, the lights, the noises, and just change in general. People are creatures of habit. And when you take them out of their normal elements, it's uncomfortable. Just like when we try to create a new habit, whether it's a New Year's resolution about eating better or losing weight, it all comes with stress because it's different. And so when you're changing settings from country to city life, or even the other way around, those that live in the city every day, going to the country for a holiday can also be equally as stressful. And we don't think about that because it's what we like. Those of us that grew up and live in rural areas much prefer that. But any of those changes really can cause those additional stress moments. And so that's how we need to prioritize self-care. Making sure that we are reflecting on how we're feeling, almost taking our own pulse and understanding how we're feeling, why we're feeling it that way, and how do I help get rid of it? So making sure you're getting sleep, making sure that you're getting physical activity. And that's outside of our normal day-to-day tasks. Go outside for a little walk. Even standing outside in nature, just the fresh air of all of it has been shown to have such a positive impact on our health. And goodness knows, with you down in Florida, you're well aware that sunshine can also make us feel pretty good. And I would even take the sunshine in 20 degrees more than I would take extremely cloudy in 60 degrees. So that sun can have such an important impact. And really limiting our intake of alcohol and other substances, because while we think that they can make us feel better short term, they really don't. They really have that negative effect.
Yeah, no kidding. That's, well, you know, you got me thinking that my what I lived, where I lived, if I heard a horn, it's once a year. I thought, what is that? And when I went to my parents down to New York City one time, that horn never stopped blowing. I don't know if people are, maybe that's some kind of thing you have to learn when you go to New York City. You got to blow the horn all the time. I don't know, but it is stressful. But hey, guys, you know what? I cannot believe we're already up to the break. Folks, stay with us. We'll be right back and learn more from Jeff and Dickie. Right back with you. I can't understand why these things go so quickly. This is crazy. It is. I mean, I'm so interested in all the stuff you guys are talking about. But what particular, pick one thing do you think that would really be important?
I think one of the big ones is recognizing that you need help and finding that support. That is just huge, is making sure that we're really encouraging people to talk about it and get the help that they need.
How about you, Jeff?
Yeah, I would add to that and say that people should feel comfortable talking to a person. I think all too often people don't realize that they've got many people in their lives that could be the listening voice and the person who they can confide in. And conversely, I've talked to a number of people who want to be there for people that are struggling, but they feel inadequate. They feel like they're going to say something that isn't necessarily going to help and in fact might hurt. And so I always advise people to just be there and don't feel like you have to say anything, but just being by the person's side, either, you know, literally if you're in person or figuratively if you're on the phone or on a Zoom call or whatever, to just let someone know that you're here to help. And while you may not be an expert, you can help them find the assistance they need. It sounds pretty simple, but it is pretty simple. But we have to start, as Nikki said, admitting we have an issue and then at least reaching out to someone who can help us.
Okay, those are two good things. So when we get down to about 5 minutes left to go, I'll try to jump in there and say we've got like 5 minutes left to go or something. That'll tell us that we're going to try to wrap it up.
Okay.
Because if you don't, it'll be tomorrow morning. We'll still be talking.
Nope, I've got cookies to bake this afternoon.
what do we have, Nikki?
We're making chocolate peanut butter balls.
Oh,
and
my God.
Little Russian tea cakes. Yep.
Can I have your address, please?
Sure. Come on over.
That sounds delicious. Gosh darn. All right, you guys ready to go again?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Hey, folks. Welcome back to the Solar Fit Renewable Energy Show with Bill Gallagher with my friends Jeff Winton and Nikki Schaefer, and we're having a robust discussion about really mental health. Gosh, I think we all suffer from a little bit of that. And I guess one of the key things to realize is there are people that want to help. We need to allow ourselves to help them. Maybe Jeff, if you don't mind starting, what are you talking about recognizing that the people need help? What would you suggest?
Well, if you feel like you're struggling and aren't where you should be or normally are, most of us have someone in our life. It may be someone in our family. It may be somebody in our community. It may be somebody in our house of worship. But one person that you can confide in. And again, the confidentiality is so critically important in small towns, because we've talked about this before, news travels fast in a small town. And people that are dealing with something that they may not feel comfortable with don't want to have the rest of the community find out about it before they're ready to talk about this. So you need to identify where that one person is who may not be an expert and probably isn't an expert in the field, but at least somebody who you can trust, who you know will help you seek the help that you need and you so richly deserve. The flip side of that is a lot of those people that are struggling will reach out to, many times are a little apprehensive about getting involved in a conversation about depression or alcohol use disorder or certainly suicide. And I always try to make people understand that they don't need to be an expert. I mean, I'm not an expert. I was not trained in this. This is something that impacted my family that I've learned a lot about. But unlike Nikki and other people who do this for a living, I'm just a layperson like anyone else. But I try to be there for people and I try to listen. But I know that I don't have all the answers, but I know where to go for those answers. And I think that's what's so critically important when you're on either side of a situation like this, is you don't have to be an expert, but you need to know where the expertise is and where you can get the services that you may need.
Yeah, that would probably be a good time to talk about the phone number that people can access help. What is that again?
That number is 988. And this is a nationwide number that was rolled out across the United States about 2.5 years ago. So 24 hours a day, every day of the year, 7 days a week. If anyone in your life is struggling, if you are struggling and need to talk to a live trained mental health counselor, you can reach them by calling 988 or texting them. And after your time of trial is over and the crisis has passed, you can count on that person, that operator who you've just connected with, to help connect you with local resources in your area that can then pick up where the operator left off and help you continue on your journey to wellness again.
Yeah, very good. Just a little side note on that. We'll be having our second annual March to Stop Suicide at Daytona International Speedway this spring. And at the completion of the march, along with some cool Navy SEALs and stuff, we congregate right around the start-finish line, and we spell out the number 988 in people. So you'll see a drone shot. You look down, and we'll all have white letters on it. It'll say 988. And the whole idea is to bring attention to this number so more and more people are aware of it. So thanks for sharing that with us, Jeff. That's awesome. Nikki, you're up. Okay, talk about, if you don't mind, prioritizing self-care. You touched on it a little bit, but how should we take care of ourselves to try to prevent getting into the swamp?
Absolutely. This is probably the most important, but also the most difficult to do. Many of us give and give and give to others, and we find joy and comfort in giving to others. Maybe being a caregiver, as a parent, as a spouse, just even in the activities that we continue to give to at our work. And yet we find it difficult to give those same graces or that same care to ourselves. So prioritizing self-care is of utmost importance. And oftentimes people say you can't pour from an empty pitcher. And if you really think about that, it's true, but how many of us try to do that when we're giving so much to everybody else and not refilling our pitcher for ourselves? So things like getting enough sleep. And I remember being a young parent where up to all hours of the night trying to prepare gifts, get meals ready for the family, where holidays, it just got extra stressful. And when it came time to actually enjoying the time together, which is where my focus should have been, I was so stressed and so exhausted that I could barely get through the day. So it is important to get enough sleep, to continue to have regular physical exercise. There are just so many benefits to have that exercise. The endorphins that are released are happy juices in our brain, and they really do bring an enlightenment and decrease stress. And that doesn't mean you have to be out running marathons. Again, it could be taking a walk. It could be vacuuming the house. Find things that you like to do and just do them. And then you can also do things like relaxation techniques. There are many online or apps on your phone to help with meditating, and not even in the fullest sense of needing to sit with your eyes closed and fully meditate, but just quiet time, finding a way to have moments by yourself, reading a book, or just some literal quiet space. And then maintaining a balanced diet and limiting a lot of extra sugars and alcohol. And again, tough at the holidays sometimes, but it's all about in moderation so that we can continue to move through each and every one of those days. And I like reflection, whether that be journaling. And journaling doesn't have to be something that somebody else is going to read. You can just write down thoughts. Sometimes it just feels good to write things down, and then you can crumble it up and throw it away if you want. But just looking for ways to be mindful and relaxed.
You know, you brought up a very important point. We talked a little bit about this. You know, my stress relief is bicycling and maybe hitting a heavy bag or something. I think Jeff is probably riding a bull and lassoing a steer. What do you do, Jeff? What do you do up in the farm there?
Well, these days I prefer a horse over a bull. I think my bull riding days are over.
Remember those mechanical bulls? Remember them?
Well, we can afford one of those. We use the real thing.
Well, they used to have one of those at the Holiday Inn, and of course I went up there feeling all full of myself, and I got on that thing, and I said, he says, what speed do you want? I said, turn it up. Boy, I'll tell you what, that thing threw me about 40 feet. I'm going back to bike riding. But seriously, what do you do up there, Jeff? What's your favorite stress relief up there?
Well, for me, all kidding aside, I am an equestrian. I ride horses. I've got a couple that I compete with. And so to me, horseback riding and just being in the presence of a horse is very therapeutic. In fact, horses are used in a lot of therapeutic programs for people living with mental challenges. And actually, there's a number of programs that we're partnering with across the United States that are geared towards veterans, people who might still be living with PTSD, where by being in the presence of a horse for an hour or so can certainly help them in their recovery. So growing up on a farm, I always had animals around. I'm a huge animal lover. Many times I'd prefer to be in the company of an animal than a person. I very much enjoy the horses. I love my dogs. I think Nikki mentioned this. I get outside and walk, even though farm work is very physically demanding and taxing. Many times at the end of my day, after the farm tours are done, I'll just go on one of the country dirt roads near the farm and walk and clear my mind. And I've gotten to the point where I don't even take my phone anymore, because I used to take my phone thinking, heaven forbid, somebody tries to reach me and they can't. I realized that back before we had phones, it wasn't an issue, and it wasn't an issue now. So I just like to get out there and, you know, walk a mile or two and clear my mind. And at the end of that walk, I feel so much better. As a matter of fact, when this call is over today, that's precisely what I'm going to do.
Well, don't forget your snowshoes. Oh, that's right. You're in Kansas. That's right.
Yeah, in Kansas, it's no snow. Cool, but no snow.
Oh, man. We only got about 3 minutes left. Nikki, I want to give you one last opportunity to tell us, you know, what would you recommend this season right now with the 2 or 3 days before we're hitting the Christmas holiday? What would you recommend people do just to relax?
Thanks. And people need to recognize when they need assistance, and they need to find that person that they can talk to. As Jeff said, it doesn't have to be a professional. Just find support know that it is completely okay and acceptable to need help and seek that help so that you can be on that road to a better health.
Well, you're almost out of time, and I want to thank you, Jeff and Nikki, for coming on. This is a second session. I'm sure we'll have another one coming up, but it's just such an important topic, and I really applaud what you're both doing. It's something that we have to learn more about, and thanks for being on as professionals. We really appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Bill. And one last mention, if I may. Our website, ruralminds.org, has a great amount of very helpful information, including what we've been talking about today. So I would encourage your listeners to go to ruralminds.org.
Oh, that's good. And just in closing, I don't know if it's, I'm not a big government guy, but, you know, I think it should be mandated that everyone have a puppy. I mean, puppies are so cool, you know, aren't they? I mean, I can't get a horse in my just. Jeff, there's no way I get a horse in here, but a puppy, yeah, I can do that.
I agree. They're the best therapy.
I tell you what, they are. You probably like cats, though, don't you, Nikki?
No, I've got one of each, but they're both my therapy animals for sure.
Yeah. Well, bringing those into healthcare facilities so that the elderly people can enjoy them too is a big, big part of, you know, what we endorse. Yep. Well, folks, to sign off for now, I want to wish both Jeff and Nikki a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And thank you again for coming on.
Thank you, Bill. Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Okay, happy folks, holidays. Same to you. Happy Holidays, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Man, I'll tell you what, this should be something we do about once a day.
We have fun talking with you.
Well, it's good therapy. You know, there's one thing I learned in life, and I think it comes from my Irish background, but if you don't have a sense of humor, you are doomed. You are doomed.
Yeah. You know? That's right.
Totally agree.
Yep.
We can talk about a very serious subject, but we can also, you know, just also have a sense of humor and help the people that are listening in and get a little enjoyment from it. You guys are awesome.
Well, thank you. We look forward to having continuing conversations with you, Bill.
Yeah, let's do that. That would be so much fun. Hey, what's your plans for the holiday?
I have all my kids home and cook here, so we stay local.
Yeah.
Nikki's making that candy she told you about, and I am out here at the farm in Kansas with my Kansas City family. So I'll be out here until the new year, then head back to New York and be there for a bit.
I'll bet you they've got some big bucks out there, don't they?
Some big bucks as in deer or money?
Yeah. No. People in Kansas don't care about money. They're talking about these big bucks.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a lot of, if you're talking about bucks as in deer.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Although, you know what's interesting, though, is you would think you would see more out here because it's flat and we don't have many trees. We see way more deer in upstate New York than what we see here. The one thing we see here, which is really neat, is lots of eagles.
Really?
I have one that routinely comes to the tree on my farm here in Kansas City. So I don't know what the reason for that is, but I've noticed that, especially the last few times I've been out here.
Gee, wow. I love any wildlife. Those eagles are so cool to watch.
Very majestic.
Wow. Well, I better let you guys get back and enjoy the day, but thank you again so much. Kind of the same thing. We'll do a post about this tomorrow or Friday latest on LinkedIn and on our Facebook. And it'll air on Saturday morning at 10:30, and then I'll send you an archived version when it's done.
Great. Thank you, Bill.
Sounds good. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Nikki.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.